Okay, Ephesians 1. Michelle, what scripture reference did we leave off in this?
Okay, left.
Oh, boy.
Verse 8.
You're not being
He hath
very...
abounded to me in all wisdom.
What's that?
1:8. He hath abounded to me in all wisdom. And one the one before that was 2 Peter 1:17.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. We left off then last time with Paul's statement there in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Okay? He's made us accepted in the beloved in the end of verse 6. And we started into the fact that Jesus is his Father's beloved. Okay? Very much so. And we don't come into these, into our adoption and our standing and all the benefits that go with that. We are not brought into those as passengers, but as fully informed and educated partakers. Okay? Notice verse 8. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, even as co-inheritors. Okay? And if somebody will go to Galatians 4, someone to Romans 8, someone to Philippians 2, and someone to 1 Corinthians 2. Whoever gets to Galatians 4, verse 7.
Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Okay? No more a servant, but a son. If we understand that it's by grace. Okay? All right. Servants don't earn grace.
No.
They earn wages by what they do. All right. Romans 8, whoever's there, verse 17.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Okay. You will do yourself a great service if you will underline those three little words, if so be. All of God's children are heirs, are his heirs. But if we want to be joint heirs, we must grow up into that capacity and that standing. And just like Paul, the only way we will grow up into that is to endure the path that the Lord has foreordained for us to walk in. Okay? Philippians 2, whoever's there, verse 5.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Okay? He's given us his mind. There's no reason for us to be intimidated or staggered by any of this. Because we have his mind.
Amen.
And therefore we are fully capable of understanding all of this, if we want to. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay, there we do. We have the mind of Christ. Whoever was in Romans 8, go back to chapter 5. And Debbie, if you'd go to 2 Corinthians 4. Now, the standard of measure or the proportion of this place of ours in Christ and with him is found in verse 8. He says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Not 99.998, all of it. That word abounding there is number 4052. It's actually the superabounding. It means to be in excess, over, above, and beyond any possibility of measure. Okay? I don't know about you, but I don't think I want to try that one. I'll just leave my ruler in my pocket. Okay? And again, I mean, it's been expressed many ways. imagine that the ocean wasn't salty and you needed a drink of water, so you went over and dipped your cup in there. How much did you deplete the ocean? We don't have instruments that could measure anything that small. Okay? It's, as far as you're concerned, it's infinite and boundless. That's what the superabounding is. That gives you a little idea of what it's like.
Praise the Lord.
So he's abounded toward us in what? All wisdom and prudence. All right? He's abounded to us in the riches of his grace towards us. Whoever's in Romans 5, verse 15.
But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many.
Okay. Jesus' sacrifice, how many people did it justify?
All
that believe. Yeah. How many people was it capable of justifying?
All.
Everyone?
Yeah, everyone. Those that
believe. What if there was somebody born who wasn't part of everyone?
Them too.
Them too. Okay. In other words, what I'm saying is there's no limit to it. To God, it doesn't matter whether we're talking hundreds of millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions. His sacrifice doesn't run out.
Never.
Okay? All right. Now, Hagin chapter 15 and verse 13.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, good. Abound in hope. 2 Corinthians 4, Deb, verse 15.
We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I've spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak.
Okay, the same measure of faith. God does not meter or hand out different measures of faith to different people. They believe him for different measures. It's all there if we want. Okay? And then chapter 9, Deb, verse 8.
2 Corinthians.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Think about that sentence. All, always, all. Is there any point 0000003 in there anywhere? No. All means all. We just need to believe it. Okay? All right. Now, let's ask ourselves, if somebody will go to John 7, what is the proof or evidence of this abounding to us? And verse 9 has the answer. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Our Father has made known unto us not his will, but the mystery of his will. And for those of you who watch movies, to quote the pretty woman when she was denied in the dress store, big difference, huge, mammoth. He has not shown us his will. He has shown us the mystery of his will. Big difference. Huge. Mammoth. Now, that word made known, or I should say that phrase made known, is number 1107 in the Greek, the Strong's. It means to declare, inform, reveal, or make known. There's no ambiguity there. It means exactly what it says. And he's revealed unto us, that us is all those, as we said a moment ago, who will to know. John 7, whoever's there, verse 17.
If any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it be I speak of myself.
Okay. So, think about this. Not his will, or not, maybe I should say not just his will, the mystery of his will. Many of God's people know and can elaborate all day on various portions, segments, or layers mm-hmm. of the will of God. Mm-hmm. For instance, you ask some believers, what was the purpose of God's plan? Mm-hmm. And they can look back through the Bible clear to Genesis 1 and say, man's salvation. Are they right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely they're right. You ask somebody else, what was God's will for man? Well, some will say he had a church. He had a plan in mind, a church. And Israel was the pattern of that church. And his church is his body. And it's going to be glorified in heaven one of these days. Are they right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you can go on and on ad nauseum. And as any of you know who study the scriptures, you can look up commentators, pastors, authors, ad nauseum, who read the exact same words that you and I do. Some of them filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet, if you ask them, what is God's will? And his plan and purpose, they miss it by a country mile. Now, that's sad. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. That's sad to me. So, many people will talk about many different layers or views or angles of what they think God's will, his overall will and purpose was. But only to Paul was revealed the mystery of his will.
Yep.
That is, the underlying, overall, and ultimate goal,
Amen.
Product, and result of that will. Mm-hmm. And that was simply that a portion of the body of Christ would be separated out and set aside specifically mm-hmm. for a marriage with his son.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we'll elaborate on that more next time. I hope it was a blessing to you. Mm-hmm.